Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business life.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 9th of December, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. This programme will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. Talking podcasts, if you missed last week's show, we were talking about Small Business Saturday with Maria Terry. She runs the Dress Agency on Aberdale Road. Well, of course, you can catch up with that. You can hear about her business, which she bought with her mother a few years ago, and how it's gone from strength to strength. That's on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website. Go to sheffieldlive.org, look up radio shows and find Business Live. You'll be able to enjoy that and much, much more, of course, because there's a wealth of music and other shows to enjoy there too. So what's coming up today? Well, it's Christmas party season, and there are many pitfalls for employers and for employees at the Christmas party. How do you avoid them? How do you make sure you, your staff, your team all have a fantastic Christmas party, but without anyone getting egg on their face? Well, we'll be talking about some research that a Sheffield firm Benchmark Recruit is doing into Christmas party season with Rebecca Morris of Benchmark, and that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Now, before we get there, a few weeks ago it was a MADE Entrepreneurship Festival and brought hundreds of people to the Crucible Theatre in Sheffield. Now, one of the people who came runs an iced coffee business. His name is Jim Cregan, and his business was inspired after his travels to Australia, and he found himself enjoying iced coffee, but he couldn't find any here in the UK. And he resolved to set up a business selling it, which appears to be going from strength to strength. So if you missed the MADE Festival, Jim was one of the highlights. I caught up with him whilst MADE was going on and after he'd given his presentation. And we'll hear the interview with Jim right now. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for joining me today. And what a brilliant presentation you've just given at the MADE Festival. For those who haven't come across your coffee, and a pick-me-up it is indeed, tell us the story of how you came up with the idea from Mankini to wonderful coffee, wonderful iced coffee.
Well, yeah, we'll park the first part. I guess I did the whole, you know, growing up thing and the university thing. I thought it was the kind of right thing to do, and then went into the big bad world of employment. And you know, half of my life was throughout the summer building festivals and bars and stages, and then the other half was during the winter. I became a labourer, which I didn't enjoy, until one day I kind of realised that I was just not going anywhere with my life. So I thought, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to go to Australia. So I went to Oz and hung out there, had an amazing time. And I stumbled across a phenomenon that they love, which is ready-to-drink iced coffee, which you can pick up in petrol stations, supermarkets, things like that. Almost just like an alternative to Red Bull or Coke or something. And I fell in love with it. And I came back to the UK and decided, actually, I wouldn't mind making my own version of this. So myself and my sister started doing it. And in business.
Oh my goodness. So you came back to the UK and there wasn't a product just like the product that you'd enjoyed on your trip to Oz.
No, there wasn't. There was a combination, very simple combination of branding, packaging and ingredients, which I fell in love with in Oz. The branding, packaging, ingredients offer on the supermarket shelves in the UK is just totally, I just didn't fall in love with it. I had no connection with it, no emotion to it. I didn't find the product useful. I just didn't like it. So that's when I thought, I want to take the feeling that I had of, yes, when I saw that product in Oz to the UK shelves and try and replicate that for other people. And a perfect example, we have someone who drives from Bournemouth to London every day, and they'll swing by Fleet Services on the northbound on the M3, and they go into Waitrose and they pick up their last bit of Bournemouth Beach as opposed to pick up an iced coffee. And I quite like that, because you're not just selling stuff in a carton, you're selling a kind of like a lifestyle choice.
I suppose here in Sheffield we're quite familiar with the idea of Henderson's Relish and it being very much of the city, and mm-hmm. and in the way you're describing Jim's iced coffee in the same kind of mental relationship with the brand. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to achieve there.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, we're really proud of where we live, so we like talking about Dorset. Our hip hop tracks that we make are all, you know, they boast where we live. You know, we've got the most beautiful beaches. Well, I personally think we do. We've got the New Forest on our doorstep, where if you drive through New Forest, you've got deer, you've got wild horses, you've got everything on our doorstep, and it's just beautiful. And I understand you've got that in Sheffield as well, with I think it's the Peak District, isn't it?
Right, that's right.
And something that a place I've yet to explore, which I would absolutely love to do soon. So it's nice. It's nice bigging that part of the world up.
Yeah, indeed. So you're giving that part of the world the attention that you feel it deserves.
Yeah.
You've created this product that you obviously loved when you obviously loved a similar product when you were in Australia. Mm-hmm. You think Brits deserve to enjoy it themselves. So you've made it sound actually, you know, not that difficult in terms of getting a product to market and getting stocked in huge supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Actually, obviously, there are huge challenges to overcome to do that. What was the biggest challenge when you realised you couldn't take a cow up into your parents' flat, feed it coffee, milk it, and then sell it to a supermarket, as you described in your presentation? What was your biggest challenge?
I think one of the biggest challenges came to me when I was actually stood outside a pub in central London just before work finished for the day, and the streets just flooded with people, and I saw a corner shop on the other side of the road, and I thought, how on earth am I going to A, make the product, and then B, get it stocked in that store? So I said, I'm not going to be able to have time to go to the 14,000 convenience stores around the UK and do a drop. So that was kind of my moment of, oh gosh. But then, you know, you seek advice from people. I pride myself on just asking people stuff if I need help. I'm never afraid to pick up the phone and ask someone a question. And one of the pieces of advice I took was, Jim, just do it all in bite-sized chunks, because otherwise you'll throw up and you'll just become completely and utterly overwhelmed and you won't be able to focus on stuff. So you
divide
actually,
things. Yeah,
yeah, put them all in boxes in your brain and only open them when you need to, but know that they're there. Don't put them in the dark so that you don't want to address them, but bite-sized chunks is definitely the way forward.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest kind of things that I took when I needed to, when I had that kind of challenge. That was the biggest challenge of how on earth am I going to do this? Okay. Take it into bite-sized chunks and deal with each piece individually, address it, and then move on to the next one.
So bite-sized chunks is a great lesson, actually, for entrepreneurs in any business who are feeling a bit overwhelmed by the to-do list and about how to get from where they are to where they want to be.
Yes.
So, okay, that's great. And now you're stocked in numerous supermarkets. You've got great brand recognition. And you're becoming well known as a rapper as well. Give us a rap.
Can I not?
All right, well, we might have to point listeners to watch your film online if that's...
That would be great. Let's get our viewing numbers up.
Okay, viewing numbers up. But it's a quirky approach to marketing, but it's just an authentic approach to marketing. And you talked in a presentation at MADE as well about storytelling and embedding storytelling mm-hmm. into marketing. In fact, you said marketing is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some brands just get that so wrong. They try to be something they're not.
Mm-hmm.
How should someone starting out in business who's trying to catch attention from, you know, from consumers, from potential users, from buyers of their product or their service, how do they break through? How do they do that in a way that's kind of real, authentic, and isn't going to get lost? Any tips?
I think if you're someone giant. You're a massive company, and you kind of worry about the fact that you've only got £16 million to spend this year on marketing. Then you kind of need to really think about what you're doing. And imagine if you didn't have £16 million. What are the marketing team going to go and do in order to sell product? And likewise, that actually brings it right back to, if you've got an idea and you want to tell someone about it, then take your product and go and sit on the bus and look someone next to you in the eye and say, "You got 2 secs. I'm starting up this company and I've got this product. What do you think about it?" And get their feedback, or actually go and talk to someone that you might trust, or maybe create a little focus group about how you can approach your certain business tactics or whatever it is. You've got to look at what resource you have in order to be able to talk to people, and then come up with the best way of doing it. And we still, luckily, you've got social media now, so you can start a company Facebook page in a heartbeat, and you can, your first post can be, "We're here. Join us on our journey if you like. And this is what we're up to. This is what we've had for breakfast today. This is our car. This is the motorway because I'm going for a meeting with X, Y, and Z." And that's all storytelling and marketing. It doesn't have to be, the ingredients in the product. It doesn't have to be the design of the pack. It can actually be so much more. And that's what people like falling in love with, is something that's just very real and very tangible.
So that reality, that tangibility, that resonates with people.
Yeah.
Some great tips there, covering storytelling and marketing, being real, but also what you said earlier as well about asking for help, asking for advice. And a lot of people who come on this show, an overriding theme actually of the successful businesses and social enterprises we interview is about asking for help, asking for advice. Anyone wanting to get a mentor, trying to find someone to help them, who should they choose? How should they make a choice of who to ask for help?
If you haven't got much confidence in wondering about or being kind of scared about who to ask, I would probably talk to, there's got to be someone in your family, I would imagine, whether it's an uncle that runs a business or an auntie that does X, Y, and Z, or someone who's just maybe just the wise grandfather that you kind of just, you want to sit down and you just chat to. They might be the first person you want to go and talk to, just to get the conversation ball rolling. And then once you've built up a little bit of confidence, it's then when you can actually pick a company that you kind of like. And it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be small, it can be anyone that you admire. And you can pick up the phone and say, you get through to the secretary and you go, "Hello, my name is Dingy. I've started up a very, very tiny company. I really admire what your chief executive officer does, and I like his style and I love the products you do. I don't suppose you've got a spare, he has or she has a spare 10 minutes on the phone for me." And chances are they will just... They shouldn't be busy, the CEOs, because they've got a team doing the work and they're just there to make sure that it all gets done. So they should have a spare 10 minutes to be able to go, "Actually, yeah, I can help you out here." So it's just a case of, if you truly believe in what you're doing, then you shouldn't be worried about asking someone a question.
Brilliant advice. And is that something that you you do yourself? Do people phone you up and ask for advice?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, even already people are just saying, "Can I have your email address because I've started out a company?" And a lovely lady called Natalia, who's got this Panela Colombian sugar, which is an alternative to kind of cane sugar. And she's just said, "Look, can you help me?" I said, "Well, typically the best thing to do is just email me your 5 top burning questions and I will reply to them, and then you can digest and act on them," which might even take 3 or 4 months to actually act on, because they're quite big moves that you're asking people to make. And then they can come back and report on how they're doing. And it makes it much far easier for me to mentor a lot of people, as opposed to doing proper daily grind work with people, which I sadly can't afford the time to do.
But answering those questions from someone like Natalia of Pura Panela will then give us something to go away and do. In fact, we're going to have to get her onto the show in a few months and see how she's got on.
100%.
Yeah, brilliant. So, Jimmy, just to conclude then, what gets you up in the morning?
The excitement of the unknown, I think, gets me up in the morning. Even though I might know what's happening in the day, you never know what might happen, what also might happen in that day. And also knowing that I can take, if I'm going to take a few weeks off next summer, I need to put some money aside, so I need to work hard to get that money in order to be able to go on holiday. And I've got 2 babies now, and I've got a mortgage, and they all need paying and looking after and stuff, so yeah, that they get me out of bed. And I get out of bed so that I don't do the old jobs that I used to. Because if you become lazy, then you end up going to have to go back to where you started from. I'm too afraid of going back there, so I need to work.
And from what you've told us about some of the jobs you did, then we can understand why.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Well, brilliant. So what does KYCU stand for?
The KYCU on my hat stands for Keep Your Chin Up. Someone did mistake it for the Kentucky Fried Chicken University, which I thought was hilarious. It kind of epitomises the mindset that you need to have in, well, what we find in our business kind of helps us. If you go in with a positive approach and an enthusiastic approach and into everything that we do, then the chances are the results are going to be a bit better. Because people believe you, and they warm to people who are friendly and look you in the eye, and you know, honest and open and positive, as opposed to, you know, people who aren't so like that.
Great philosophy in life as well as in business.
True.
So keep your chin up, Jim Cregan. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me. Cheers.
This is Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. That was Jim Cregan. He's the founder of Jimmy's Iced Coffee, and he was speaking with me at the MADE Festival of Entrepreneurship, which took place, of course, a few weeks ago in the Crucible Theatre. Were you there? What did you think of it? Have you gone away inspired? Have you put some of the things that you learned into play in your business? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with this programme. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org or send a text to 07904 272 200. You can find me on Twitter, of course, Jamie Veitch, and you can find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Because whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. Now, I mentioned at the start of the programme today that it's Christmas party season. Yes, the festive period is truly upon us. And part of that, of course, is going out with your colleagues and having a wonderful time. Do you perhaps have too wonderful a time, though? Well, one person who's finding out, doing some interesting research into that, is Rebecca Morris of Benchmark Recruit. And I'm delighted to be joined by Rebecca. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Jamie.
Thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure.
And of course, not too far to come, because Benchmark's home is in the Workstation building, the same building which houses Sheffield Live Studio. And you are putting out a survey at the moment. You're doing some research into people's behaviour at Christmas parties.
We are indeed.
So that looked really interesting when I heard about that. And I believe that you'll be publishing the findings next week.
We will indeed. They'll be published on our website next week, probably middle to end of next week.
Super. So the sort of questions that you're asking for people who haven't yet taken place, and then we can see if people want to take part themselves, the sort of questions that you're asking. Tell us a little bit more.
So the sort of questions that we're asking mainly around behaviours, colleagues' behaviours at Christmas parties, such as, do you perhaps say a little too much at a Christmas party and regret that a little later down the line? So we are focusing more on what people say and do during the Christmas party season.
Right, great stuff. And the results are anonymous and confidential.
They are, yes.
And you're simply looking at sort of overall percentages.
We are.
So you've already had some results coming in, some participants. What sort of things are people saying?
Well, so far the results have suggested that perhaps people do get slightly loose-lipped during their Christmas party. Around 53% so far have said that they regret what they say the next morning. So that perhaps suggests that people might get a little bit excited or forget perhaps who they're speaking to during the Christmas party.
That's an interesting one. So more people regret what they said than
they
didn't.
Do. Yeah, so people perhaps, instead of having a 24-hour hangover, perhaps the hangover goes slightly into the new year and the regret lies a little bit longer.
Oh dear. And then there are sort of questions about inappropriate behaviour and not only saying things that they regret, but doing things that they regret as well.
Absolutely.
Are people owning up to any of that?
Well, we've not had examples, but of course, if anyone would like to send us some examples, we can look at those as well. But no, so far we've got percentages, so no, examples would be great.
Indeed. And so it's a simple survey. It'll take about 2 or 3 minutes.
Absolutely. Yes, there's around 10, 15 questions.
Yeah. So, and we'll be looking out for the full results next week.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, if people are about to go to a party or to organise the party that they've organised is about to take place, any tips then for employers or for employees in terms of having a great time but not regretting it afterwards?
Absolutely. If we start with the employers, I would say inclusion is really important. And I've spoken to a lot of people over the last few weeks about what are they doing for their Christmas party? Are they excited? And one thing that I've really noticed is people want to be included in those plans. They perhaps want to know where they're going, you know, not it's this is where we're going, you know, we've got an area cordon off and that's it. That's perhaps not what everybody wants. So yes, one thing I would say to employers is ask your team, what do they want to do? But also to provide some structure. It's not necessarily saying, right, here's the rota, so we're going to, you know, at 9 o'clock we're going to do this, 10 o'clock this. More of, you know, at certain times we want to all get together to either say something or do something. For example, we actually do what we call the snow globes during our Christmas party.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we vote on around, I think we have about 20 questions about the team. So that goes from anything to who makes the best brew, right through to what was the most defining year of Benchmark, you know, during 2016. Yes. And we have literally snow globes, so that you can shake them and snow is in them.
Oh, yes.
And we give those out, and that's great. So we do that halfway through our meal, so the team know that's coming before we, you know, take the night further.
Lovely.
And then I'd say my advice to employees would be just remember who you're speaking to. Obviously have a great time. It's a celebration of the year as well as Christmas. But just remember who you're with and what you're doing and what you're saying.
Okay, great. Sage advice there, mm-hmm. Rebecca. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Indeed. And so inclusion is absolutely crucial. Get
definitely.
your team engaged with the process of planning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nobody likes to be told what to do, do they?
No.
They like to be involved with that plan.
Okay, super. Good. And have you had your party yet, or are you about to?
It's next Thursday, so watch out.
Something to look forward to.
Watch out, Sheffield. Yes, absolutely.
And where's yours? What are the plans?
So the team wanted to go for a meal, first of all, but nobody wanted a Christmas meal. They wanted more of a pub meal. So we're going to go to the Broadfield,
yeah.
And then we are going to venture into town, I think. So depending who wants to go where. But obviously our snow globes will be in the middle of that, so we'll make sure that happens too.
Excellent. Well, that's going to be a memorable event then.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Brilliant. And whilst you're here in the studio with us, Rebecca,
sure.
Benchmark is placing staff with businesses throughout the region.
Yes.
And so as a recruitment consultancy that's well established, that's got a good reputation, you must have a real sort of eye or finger on the pulse, shall we say, for how the region is doing. And of course, 2016, it's been an interesting year. We've had the vote for Brexit. Brexit hasn't taken place yet. Of course, it's been debated in Parliament this week. Article 50 likely to be triggered next year. And so there are lots of things we still don't know about how Brexit will impact on employers and on businesses. But at the same time, that vote did, I suppose, send some seismic shocks through the country. Now, has that had an impact on employers' confidence? And also, what are the sectors that you're working in which are doing perhaps the most well or are most busy at the moment?
Well, I think when we voted on Brexit, those couple of weeks afterwards, they were a strange couple of weeks. A lot of the clients we work with didn't know how it was going to affect their company, had in fact had conversations perhaps with their team to suggest, you know, if we do leave the EU, bad things might happen. However, I would say we've not yet seen any effect in terms of no employers have yet pulled positions, if you like. We've not seen any decrease in the amount of vacancies we are taking and the amount of candidates looking for work. I think it certainly will be interesting as to whether we will see that change. And of course, I hope we won't. But no, we've not seen any change as of yet. I would say Sheffield at the moment is a booming place to actually be looking for work. Mm-hmm. It's such a growing region, which is, it's really exciting, actually. We have seen in the last month, we've had over a 28% increase in vacancies.
In the last month?
Within the last month.
That's quite astonishing.
Which is brilliant. And it was closely followed by Southampton. But what's brilliant is that, you know, Sheffield is the biggest growing region to date, currently.
Yes.
I would say where Sheffield has really grown, because we look after, you know, all vertical markets, so sales, marketing, office support, but also IT and creative.
Yes.
And I would say that has been the biggest growing sector within Sheffield.
IT and creative.
IT and creative. And I think one thing that we are certainly really working with in Benchmark is trying to grow the next generation of IT and creative candidates, because that's actually where we've got the biggest shortage of candidates.
Right, yes.
So the next generation, we're trying to encourage them to perhaps look at other avenues of work as well as, you know, your standard office-based roles.
That's really interesting, isn't it, in terms of there are lots of opportunities there. And if you're contemplating your career and you're sort of 16, 17, 18, or at university, but you're deciding what to do and knowing that those opportunities are there and that actually those skills are in demand.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think as we use more and more technology, you know, the next generation are actually a lot more IT savvy than perhaps, you know, our generation. But there is definitely a skills shortage. So, yeah, encouraging all the younger generation out there to get skilled up and, you know, maybe look at other markets as well as standard office roles.
Right. Brilliant. So IT, creative, sounds like the creative and digital industries that Sheffield is trying to be known for, it is known for and doing really well.
Absolutely.
Actually, that reflects a report that PwC Sheffield put out a few weeks ago, which we referenced on this programme,
yes,
about the size in terms of jobs and the value to the economy of the creative and digital industries sector. So fascinating stuff.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
28% increase, you mentioned.
Yes.
Now, are these roles both permanent jobs and temporary and contracting roles? Is it equal split, would you say?
I would say it's a real mix. Generally, we look after more permanent, to be honest, than temporary or contract. Again, going back to the IT and creative, you do see a lot more contract positions within that sector. But otherwise, I would say the increase is as standard within permanent vacancies.
Okay, brilliant. That's really interesting. And before you go then, Rebecca, and you'll be keen to get back to the office downstairs, I know, but you've been with Benchmark for over 3 years, you said?
I have, yes. Yeah.
So for anyone contemplating a career in recruitment themselves, what advice would you give?
My advice would be, if you are somebody who likes dealing with people, likes spinning plates and working hard, long hours, but love and really passionate about something, give it a go. It's such a rewarding position to be able to meet people and find them what is their dream job. That is an amazing, amazing thing to do. So I would encourage anybody, whether you're interested in finance, legal, admin, whatever it may be, definitely, definitely give it a go.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for that, Rebecca Morris, Benchmark
no
Recruit. And of course, the results from your survey, your research into Christmas party behaviour, that'll be published on your website next week.
It will indeed, yes.
On the Benchmark website.
So it's benchmarkrecruit.co.uk.
Super. Rebecca Morris, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. We're going to take a quick break for a track of music. What are we going to play? Well, we're going to play Beyoncé, Run the World. You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. And you've been hearing today from Rebecca Morris of Benchmark Recruit. And Rebecca has been talking about Christmas party season. Benchmark are doing some research into Christmas parties and people's behaviour there. They're publishing the full findings next week and they're doing a survey right now. You can find out more on the Benchmark website. Rebecca has also been discussing how to have a great Christmas party without falling into any of the common pitfalls that might affect employers or employees. And she's talked about the business sectors which are booming in our region, with IT and creative jobs doing really, really well, and a 28% 7% increase in jobs Rebecca was talking about earlier. Now, if you've only just tuned in and you've missed the interview with Rebecca from Benchmark Recruit, then don't panic, because, of course, you can catch up with today's programme on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website. It will be up there from about 11 a.m. And it's really easy to use the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website, because you just go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, and then you can choose Business Live, that's this programme, or one of our other fantastic programmes covering a whole myriad of different musical genres, from folk to rock to reggae to northern soul to much, much more. And see what you enjoy there. So go to the specific show pages and then you'll find the programs from the last few weeks there, and you can simply click and listen to them in your browser, or you can click to download them and play them on an MP3 player, save them to your computer, play them when you're offline. So fantastic thing to do, and whole range of things for you to enjoy there. Now, also today on the programme, we heard from Jim Cregan. Jim is someone who was speaking at the MADE Festival of Entrepreneurship a few weeks ago. It took place at the Crucible Theatre, and he runs an iced coffee business. He was one of the highlights for many people at the MADE Festival, and he gave me a 15-minute interview afterwards. We played that at the start of today's programme. So we're going to take another break in a moment or two for a track of music, but just a quick reminder, you can get in touch with this programme if you want to put yourself forward to be a guest, if you want to suggest someone else to be a guest, or if there's something that you think we should be discussing and talking about, then we're always keen to hear from you. All you need to do is send an email to jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200, or find me on Twitter, Jamie Veach. Sheffield Live is on Twitter as well. And we're always keen to hear from people running or starting businesses or social enterprises. So time then for us to hear from Faye Heald with her track, which is Little Yellow Roses. You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veach. Business Live is our weekly programme about business and social enterprise, and you've just heard a track there, which I played by Faye Heald. Now, what's been going on in business and in social enterprise? Well, a few things. There's a private members bill which has been proposed, which would reduce accounting requirements for small cooperatives. And the bill's now been introduced to Parliament. The Small and Medium-Sized Cooperative Development Bill would, if it were to be passed into law, remove the requirement for co-ops with a turnover of less than £5,000 to appoint lay auditors. And it would also increase the turnover threshold at which full audit requirements apply for cooperatives from 5.6 million to £6.5 million. And it would make the requirement for an auditor's report contingent on share capital rather on turnover. So could be interesting, could affect you if you're running a cooperative. What else? Well, lots of businesses, particularly small businesses, suffer from late payments. And in fact, research that has been undertaken by Free Agent, which is an online accounting platform, has found that Sheffield is one of the worst places for late payments affecting small businesses and freelancers. Meanwhile, the Federation of Small Businesses, the FSB, published a report this week on Wednesday, looking at the way small firms and the wider economy are affected by poor payment practice. Their report found that policy interventions have had no discernible effect on tackling problems around the UK's poor payment culture in the last 5 years. And they say that for small businesses, on average, 30% of payments are typically late now, compared with 28% in 2011. So that means that there will be a devastating impact on small businesses, according to FSB. And in fact, in their report, they find that 37% of small businesses who participated in their report or responded have run into cash flow difficulties. 30% have been forced to use an overdraft. 20% say late payment has hit their profits. And with the extreme end of this, late payments and cash flow difficulties as a result have caused businesses to fail. And in fact, they say that in 2014, if payments had been made on time and as promised, 50,000 business deaths could have been avoided, which would have grown the UK economy by £2.5 billion. And that would have been a vital uplift to the UK's GDP, say the FSB. And Mike Cherry, who is their national chairman, has commented on this, saying that the UK now risks having a business culture where it's acceptable not to pay small businesses on time. So the FSB has put out a plan. They say that government should devote an element of its upcoming corporate governance drive to supply chain respect, alongside measures on executive pay and workers. They also say that the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy must end the delay in appointing the Small Business Commissioner, which was pledged in the Queen's speech 18 months ago. And they say that BEIS must ensure that this office has a specific remit to tackle supply chain bullying within its naming and shaming powers. And they add that the Chartered Institute of Credit Management should work with the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy to give real substance to the prompt payment code through a penalty system that would tackle repeat late payment offenders. Mike Cherry, who, as I mentioned, is a chair of the Federation of Small Businesses, he also added that their evidence demonstrates why it's so important, not only from an ethical point of view, but also from an economic point of view, to address the issue of late payments head on. He said that payment culture is set at board level and supplier interest must be represented at the top of the chain. He added, it's something that CEOs and board members in big businesses must take responsibility for. Big businesses should respect the supply chain and stop using smaller businesses as a credit line by delaying payments and applying bullying tactics. Now, is that something that resonates with you? Are you running a small business and you've been affected by late payments? Well, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with this programme. I've given out the contact details earlier and I'll do them again before the end of the show. So if you want to have your say, then please do get in touch. What else is going on? Well, we talked last week about Small Business Saturday. And in fact, on last week's programme, we had Maria Terry. She's running the dress agency on Aberdale Road. She was on the programme. But last Saturday, Small Business Saturday, a shop owner in Crooks retired after serving the Shoppers of Crooks for over 29 years. So Nigel Bergen is the owner of the Just Natural Greengrocer store. And the Deputy Lord Mayor and Murphy and local councillors went along to a celebration at his shop last week to commemorate his long service to the people of Crooks in Sheffield. His business, serving fruit and veg, has been built over nearly 30 years. And although Nigel's retiring, the shop has been sold and a new owner has taken over. So Just Natural is going to continue to serve shoppers in Crooks. Well, let's hope for another 30 years and a lot longer. A new flood insurance package was announced this week by the British Insurance Brokers Association, and thousands of small businesses in South Yorkshire should benefit from that. So this will address a variety of flood insurance and resilience challenges faced by small businesses, and it should help the many small businesses in South Yorkshire who struggle to access affordable flood insurance. A small but significant minority of high-risk businesses have either been refused insurance or faced unaffordable premiums or excesses. And that situation would be exacerbated by the 12% tax hike on insurance premiums. So small businesses hadn't been included in the recent flood re-scheme to protect high-risk domestic households, and turn back to the FSB again, Federation of Small Businesses. They challenged government and industry to provide a workable solution to small businesses, taking account of resilience improvements. And this new scheme with BIBA, the British Insurance Brokers Association, is the result. So a few things there going on in business and in social enterprise this week. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet and you want to get gifts for people, then last week we mentioned that the Charity Bank and Pioneers Post have both published some Christmas gift guides. If you want to buy gifts from social enterprises, they can help you. Now, a few months ago, I bumped into the owner of the Sheffield Speedway, who described the Speedway as a fantastic family day or evening out. So I was interested to find out a little bit more about that and how the Speedway works and what it can offer and why he'd invested in it and bought the business. And we're going to play the interview with Damien Bates, who's the owner of the Speedway now. Okay, Damien, thanks very much for joining me on Business Live. So we're talking about Speedway. You run Sheffield Speedway. We're down at Allerton Stadium talking about Speedway. Now, you've been involved for a few years since buying the business. That was 2014, I understand.
Yeah, 2014. The previous owner, Neil Machin, wanted to sell up. I got a phone call from Sunday. Asking if I'd be interested. There were a couple of people interested in buying it, and it's developed from there. And I've known Neil since I was coming here, about 8-9 years old. So for over 20 years, I've known him, and you know, my dad's known him a long time, and you know, it's a family connection with him. So it just made sense, really, and it's a sport I've always loved since I was a kid.
Yeah, indeed. And so you talked about your nephew as well in terms of racing here, and there's a picture of him on the wall, British Under 21 Championship winner.
Yeah, he won it in 2014, and last year he won the British Under 19 Champion as well. So, you know, he started off the last couple of years, he's doing really well. He rides for me down at Sheffield. Fans' favourite. He's a lovely kid, everybody likes him. He's an all-action style, and, you know, not being biased with being blood to me, but, you know, he's worth the admission alone to watch him around the track, you know. So, you know, it's a family thing with us, and Sheffield, like I said, it's been since I was a little lad, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, and it's just a long association, which, you know, to own it now is... It feels surreal sometimes because... You know, it's something you never think you'd do, but, you know, and most of all, I enjoy it. So it worked out perfect.
Brilliant, yeah, good stuff. So your background then, what were you doing before, and how much time does this take up of your day-to-day?
My job, I'm a plumber, and I have my own business with my brother and my dad. We set up 10 years ago now. We work for water companies throughout the country, plumbing works, external water works, that sort of thing. And that is a really full-on job, busy job, but it's also give me the opportunity to buy Sheffield Speedway. I want to be able to buy it without that. When I first took over the Speedway, somebody who's not involved now, he did say to me, 2 hours a week, that's what all it could take to run a Speedway club, which I don't know how long his hours were, but it does take over because it gets to grip with it. There's a lot of stuff to do, more than people can ever imagine. I think a lot of people think we just turn up on a Thursday, 2 hours later, and we go home after bikes and race, but you know. It's
never going to be that simple, is it?
No, there's a lot more to it that the fans, the sponsors, people don't see, which, you know, you've got to keep private because it's a business at the end of the day. It's also part of an association, the British Speedway Association, yeah. Which, you know, each club's a member, and there's a lot of dealings, a lot of business goes on with that to keep the sport going. So, you know, that's full on as well, but I enjoy it, so that's the main thing.
Yeah. Enjoy it. There's obviously a real connection. You've been coming here for years yourself, in any case, and watching and you've been watching Speedway for years.
Yeah, like I say, I think I was 8 or 9 when my dad first fetched me. He used to come when he was a kid, and he's always come. Whereas you either love it or you don't. It's a bit, you know, it's a Marmite effect on some people. Some people think it's all right, but I absolutely loved it from day one.
Yeah.
When I was youngster, I used to ride around back at Sheffield on training track. When it's got old, it's hard for you to let go of it.
Yeah, sure thing. Brilliant. Okay. And so now then, since you've been involved, going from strength to strength, you could say, and of course you've got some very solid relationships with people in the business community here in Sheffield. You've had some of the same sponsors have been on board for several years as well. So, you know, we're on a business program here talking about business. You work with local businesses and you obviously deliver something that they value as well.
Yeah, we've got Ian Hunter, Warren Sheffield Winter Centre, which, you know, is a massive brand in Sheffield. This is 10th year, I believe. 10 years it is, he's sponsoring Sheffield. It was here when Neil Machin owned it, and he's a good friend of Neil. And, you know, Ian loves Speedway. And to get sponsors is very, very hard at any level of sport. So for the support he gives us, you know, you can't thank him enough. And this year, his son Joe, who Central Glass, which is sort of a division of Sheffield Winter Centre, and Joe runs it, they've come on board with some sponsorship as well. So to have two companies like that with such a good reputable name and you know, their reputation in Sheffield, you know, I think everybody's heard of Sheffield Winter Centre and Central Glass part of it. It's really good. And we've got people like Wasco Brown, who solicitors in Sheffield. They did so much for us. Ian Brown, nothing's never too much trouble for him. So
you've got great relationships there that are long term, but the club itself is long term as well, isn't it? I mean, you've been involved as the owner since 2014, but the club itself, it's 70 odd years, is it?
Yeah, it's, you know, I can't remember the exact year, but it's over 70 years it's been established here. There was a short little break in end of the 80s, 90s, I think it were off for a couple of years. But, you know, it's an established place. Alton Stadium, really established in Sheffield. And I think a lot of people think it's just for the dogs, but, you know, the Speedway every Thursday, they have stock cars. It's a very lively stadium, and obviously I have a Speedway side of it. You know, a lot of people in Sheffield and surrounding areas do know about it. Yeah, I could do a few more just coming to have a look at it again.
Well, so if you listen to this we've got your interest, then people can come along.
Yeah, you know, if they come along, if there's a lot of people I speak to and they say, oh yeah, I used to go to Speedway when I was a youngster, or so and so used to go, and I just then people, if they want to come back and they want to, you know, come again, it's worth, my opinion, it is worth the admission. And if, you know, I just want them people to come and see how much work we put in, how good it is, and the atmosphere and everything, you know. Thursday night in Sheffield, you know, you've got football at weekends, you've got Sheffield Steelers at weekends. Thursday night, it's a good night. You know, it's a good night out. There's food available, there's carpets available, there's drinks, there's everything you can have here, so you can get the full package, really.
Lovely. Well, listeners, get yourself down, see for yourselves, have a good night out. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Damien Bates of the Sheffield Speedway. He's talking with me a few months ago, in fact, now, about the Speedway being a great night out. And you've been listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. We've had a brand new live studio interview today with Rebecca Morris of Benchmark Recruit. And she's been talking about that. Avoiding the pitfalls of the office Christmas party. Also talking about which sectors in the region are booming, and the region as a whole doing really, really well as well in terms of recruitment and employment. So if you missed that, then catch up with the podcast later. This programme will be back on air next Friday, so please tune in then. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks also to Sangeeta in the studio, a sound engineer once again. We'll be back on air next week, and we're going to play out with a little bit of Nina Simone for you. Feeling Good.